If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most High. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So the seminar topic for this evening is, everything you seek and think you lack is already within you and is yours forever. Yes, everything you seek is already within you and is yours forever. So we're going to be examining how we can come into congruency with this absolute divine principle and truth, even though we may not have heard it before and we may not have occupied that as a reality. It's there and ready to be occupied. So let's start by first occupying the present moment, shall we? And we do that by taking a deep breath and bringing yourself through your breath fully present and riding that energy as a sense of the inner core of your beingness. And just intend that those higher levels are nesting within you like so many babushka dolls. Your I Am presence or monad, your Christ consciousness or soul awareness, and your higher mind, your divine Christ mind, and even that lower mind that projects the world you dream you see. Let's flood that part of the mind with your omnipresent omniscience, that part of you that's everywhere present, that's ever one with God, that contains all that is and ever shall be. Yes, that part of you. And let's shine away that little peanut brain that would convince you otherwise, because that is a lie. And that tiny little portion of conditioned mind stuff we've been allowing for far too long to run the show. And now the jig's up and it's time for it to simply dissolve back into the nothingness from which it has seemingly emerged. You are but love and truth, an immortal joy. So let's take a deep breath and occupy that thought. Oh, and own it. And ask, if you will, that part of yourself that is the eternal one, that is the witness of your shadow here in time and space, that is your true and immortal self, to bring your personality, your mind, and your understanding up to the level of awareness that would be appropriate for you this evening. Ask that any beliefs or thought forms or conditioned states and patterns and habits that no longer serve your higher emancipated self, that they could be cleared and dissolved through divine love and grace. That is your grace card that you can always pull. That unmerited love of God that simply can lift you out of the most dense pit of illusion in a nanosecond as simply a gift of reality. That is yours already. So take another deep breath. And allow that which no longer serves you to simply dissolve into the love of the Christ. That love that is, however you would term it. You know, I've spent many, many years traveling and being and living in India and abiding in the ashram of the great cosmic Christ avatar, Sri Satya Sai Baba. And Sai Baba is a fully God-realized being who came in that way to demonstrate to us what a life that is consciously aware of its divinity looks like. And when asked, "Are you God?" he always responds, "Yes, I am God. But you are also God. And the only difference is that I am aware that I am God. And you are still awakening to that awareness." So during our personal and group interviews with Sai Baba, he's invariably going to tell us that we are divine. That is the main core of his message. You are God. You are divine. And yet most people identify more with the storyline of their lifetime experiences of mistakes and other things, and therefore they are quick to own that they are only human. What a disappointing and dismal destination for your omnipresent divinity. Ah, I'm only human. No, you're not. So, such statements by Baba that we are divine require a spiritual practice, which is holding to truth, allowing divine principle to be what we act out of rather than the conditioned belief systems that we have learned in this big ego dream run amok that we call the world. The Baba always tells us, do not think that you are human and that you have to reach somehow that state of divinity. Think rather that you are God and that from that state you have become identified with a false self that you term being a human being. But if you think rather that all the attributes of God are within you now, those divine attributes will begin to manifest in you. Know that you have extended from the all that is as a consciousness stream that has been termed the human life wave. But in highest truth, you've never left that divine source, and it is inevitable that you will awaken to and return back in your awareness to that wholeness of Source. However, if you keep tenaciously holding on to the fiction that you're a faulty human being, then that's where your consciousness is going to be snagged. And that concept of falsehood will then constitute and guide your life. Whereas if your mind holds to the idea and constantly keeps returning to that truth that the divine is in me and I am divine, then that's where your consciousness will reside. In our present Kali Yuga condition, in this age, we're in the darkest period where the deluding principle of cosmos is prevailing. And it causes us to live out of a false sense of self, where we're conscious only of the body and the mind and the various things going on in the world. And wherever your consciousness is, there you are. So he who considers himself free is free indeed. And he who considers himself bound remains bound. It is done unto you as you believe. Think yourself to be free. Think of yourself as the eternal, unlimited consciousness, awareness, and bliss. And you will be free. And you will, moreover, be happy. Because your happiness and truth are intrinsically interwoven. Sai Baba often tells us that happiness is union with God. And he's speaking of Purna Santosha, which is that full, all-encompassing happiness and joy that comes from the realization of the self. So constantly think of yourself as the eternally free self. Realize you are ever free. So in returning our awareness to reality, we come to the happy realization that all of our thoughts and fears about loss, separation, failure were simply not true. Never own nor verbally confess a falsehood about yourself. Resolve, if you will, to end cycle on this very night on every form of self-deprecation, every form of self-criticism, every self-judgment, every negative statement that you know is not true. If it's not true of God, it's certainly not true of you. You're not a body. That body cannot be sick. It cannot die. It cannot... That body that you think is you is not you at all. It's like the shadow we spoke about in our previous seminar last week. That shadow falls on all kinds of terrain, but it doesn't touch you. You are beyond that thing that you think of as your house, your physical body. So you come to realize that everything you were taught about yourself and the world and the meaning and the purpose of life from the human perspective was simply not true. So as you feel, so you become. It's important to feel that you are divine, even if you have to mood make, pretend, mock it up, whatever it takes. Identify what you possibly can as the feeling of divinity, and that would be loving. That would be peace. You know, it's simple stuff here. But begin to feel that nothing is impossible for you. Feel that you are divine, that you are good, that you are godlike. And, you know, you might ask yourself, why don't we accept this as truth as soon as we are told? You know, it's so marvelous and encouraging to think of ourselves in this way. But don't, you know, don't feel discouraged. Because within the world, we have, well, since we were little babies, we have been told by our family, schools, television, friends, in fact, everyone with whom we usually come into contact with, that we are our body, that we are what we think and believe, and that we have certain limitations because, after all, we're only human. And who is it that tells us not to accept that we are merely a human and merely a variant from the common denominator of the average? Well, it's the enlightened. All beings, rishis and enlightened masters, sages, saints, and especially the Purna Avatar, the full avatar, will always tell you the truth, that you are divine. Every single enlightened master, no matter what their background and tradition, tells you the exact same thing. And yet we somehow have a belief that something outside of ourselves is going to need to be added in order for us to awaken to that self. And that is another lie, that going without in any way, shape, or form in any kind of seeking is going to add to you what you already have within. You already have it. You just haven't taken perhaps a really serious, passionate intent to know it, to experience it. You've been too busy spinning out the storylines. So, we are told the truth by Sai Baba because he is the truth. That's what satya means in Sanskrit, truth. And about himself, Sri Satya Sai says, divine energy has come as Sai to awaken the divinity in everyone. Well, he's going to come very soon now as Prema Sai Baba. And in that avatar appearance, he's going to be teaching one thing. You are God. So, we're just getting a little jump on the message here because many of you are ready to hear this. Many of you are tired of being the fiction and really want to move into the truth. So, what a tragedy it would be if we would let our past conditioning ruin and run our lives and thus remain caught in a fictitious and false sense of self. We have this wonderful opportunity of this moment, which Sai Baba says, we may not have this experience ever again to be contemporaries at the time of the avatar, the Purna avatar, the full avatar. There's many Anga avatars or extensions or partial manifestations of divinity or divine attribute. But to have one that's the whole enchilada is incredibly rare. And Sai Baba is called the Sarva Devi Swarupam, which means he is the quintessential sum total embodiment of every name and form of God that mankind has ever worshipped from the beginning of its existence. So that's why you don't have to change your religion. You don't have to adopt a new form of God. You don't even have to adopt his form. You can continue your spiritual path along the lines that are already familiar to you. But take advantage of the fact that there is one on the planet today who is holding that space for you to move into harmonic resonance and own your divinity now. All it takes is that one, like, tuning fork, sounding that particular wavelength to cause all others that are in any kind of similar simpatico resonance to come into entrainment with that higher and more positive and powerful vibration. It's a spiritual principle. So here are the things that he always teaches us to in fact, I was present with him when he gave this discourse. It was his birthday, November 23rd, 1983, when he said, if you're yearning to experience the God-realized state of truth, awareness, and bliss, or Sat-Chit Ananda, as it's called in Sanskrit, if it's sincere and pure, then from this very day, keep ever in your memory what I'm about to tell you. Number one, say to yourself, I am God. I am not different from God. Be conscious of this always. Keep it ever in your mind. I am God. I am God. I am not different from God. Be reminding yourself of this and pray that you may not fall from that awareness, that you may maintain this as a spiritual exercise. Number two, say to yourself, I am the indivisible, supreme, absolute. This is the second truth to be established in the consciousness by unremitting repetition and prayer. Number three, I am Sat Chit Ananda, being, awareness, bliss. Number four, grief and anxiety can never affect me. Develop this faith and convince yourselves of this truth by repeated assurance and prayer. And prayer, in this case, is where you contemplate and turn over in your mind reality statements, reality truths. And you come into fellowship and communion with the divine within you. So it's like a prayer of your heart, of your innermost intention. And number five, I am ever content. Fear can never enter me. And feel thus forever. Pray that this conviction grows stronger and stronger. And just as the physical body is maintained healthy and strong by the five vital airs or prana, these five prayers will endow you with the awareness of God, which is the same as the status of God itself. So awareness is also love, and God is love. So the very awareness of yourself as love is the awareness of God within you. Who loves through you? Only God. So love is vital. Love is divine. To render any act that you would ever do as a fit offering to the Lord and pure enough to evoke His grace, it has to be a manifestation of love. The brighter the manifestation, the nearer you are to God. Prema, or divine love, is not affected or modified by considerations of any outer state, any creed or culture or religious valence. It cannot be tarnished at all by any of those things or diminished. It is diminished only by envy, malice, spite, and hatred. So fill every single word and action with love. Fill everything in your life with love, your mind, your heart, your touch, your behavior, even as you walk on the earth, walk softly, as if you were kissing the earth with your feet. So the word that emerges from your tongue should never stab like a knife, nor wound like an arrow, nor hit like a hammer. It has to be soft and sweet. Love always speaks softly because it comes from a heart that has become one with the beloved. And so in all things it is gentle. It is said of Jesus that he was gentle, meek, and mild, that he had a gentle demeanor. He was not strutting about, you know, trying to be powerful and masterful. He was soft and kind and gentle and considerate. And that's how love behaves. Our behavior, our very presence, must shower happiness and peace and joy upon everyone we come into contact with. And love knows no fear. Love absolutely shuns falsehood. It is fear, actually, that causes man to lie, to enter into falsehood. That's always a sign of cowardice. And you know, you can't even be unjust or do wrong things when you have awakened to the love that you are. Nor does love crave praise. And that's its own strength. Only those who have no love in them are continually itching for reward and reputation and recognition. But the reward for love is love itself. So these are things that are so very important to bear in mind. Baba always tells us to start the day with love. As soon as your eyes open, say, I love you, Lord. Thank you for this day. I'm going to spend it completely in loving you and loving your creation and the people you send across my path today. And then live that day with love. Take the hand of love in the form of the master that you most love, that you most feel trust and kinship with, if it's Sai Baba or Jesus or whoever, and live the day in the presence of that love, and fill the day with love, and spend your whole day loving. And then at the end of the day, say, my Lord, thank you for loving through me this day. You were the one, the only one, that did all things through me. And so the results also I offer to you as I close this day and tell you once again, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And into your hands I commit my spirit. That's the way to go to sleep, and that is also the way to God. So you sleep in God, you live in God, you walk with God, you work with God, you eat God, you drink God. Everything in your day becomes an exercise of God consciousness that you are exercising in your inner awareness. And, you know, before you know it, you're going to be God-realized, and you're going to love the earth, because the more you are near to God, the more everything else just dissolves from your nature. You begin to love everyone. And you can only love someone when you don't want anything from them, when you're not seeking to get something or to manipulate or to control or contrive some sort of return for yourself. Only when you awaken to the love you are can you truly love another. Otherwise, it's just liar behavior. It's just falsehood. It's just another charade that the ego would convince you is love. But it's not. And that's why that love that is of the ego can turn in a nanosecond from love to spite and hatred and divorce and separation and animosity and backbiting and stabbing. All of that is the ego just doing the liar behavior, not doing truth, because the ego doesn't know truth. It wouldn't know truth if it got, if truth kissed it on the forehead. So the ego is the inner liar that would tell you that you're separate from God, that you're only human, that you're a loser, that you're a failure, that you're whatever. All those negative things come from the father of lies. And the biggest lie of all is that you're separate from God. So, I want to read you a letter that Sai Baba wrote to a friend of mine who happened, passed out of the body now, but he happened to be a very dry, very intellectual doctor, Western doctor here San Diego area, but a very, very intellectual. He was always the one that was asking Sai Baba questions. But he became the juiciest devotee you could imagine. He became, I think, one of Sai Baba's greatest Western devotees because he began to live exactly the way I'm sharing tonight. That was his lifestyle. That was how he lived. He literally imagined Sai Baba walking and holding his hand every moment of every day. And the name of Baba was always on his lips. He was always saying, Om Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram. And thus he was always keeping and evoking that presence to be with him at all the time. So here was a letter that Sai Baba wrote to him. I don't see a date on it, but I'll read it. And it's in Sai Baba's handwriting, which is so beautiful. You as body, mind, or soul are a dream. But what you really are is existence, knowledge, bliss. You are the God of this universe. You are creating the whole universe and drawing it in. To gain the infinite universal individuality, the miserable little prison individuality must go. Bhakti, devotion, is no crying or any negative condition. It is seeing, of all in all we see. It is the heart that reaches the goal. Follow the heart. A pure heart seeks beyond the intellect. It gets inspired. Whatever we do reacts upon us. If we do good, we shall have happiness, and if evil, unhappiness. Within you is the real happiness. Within you is the mighty ocean of nectar divine. Seek it within you. Feel it. Feel it. It is there. It is here now, the self. It is not the body, the mind, the intellect, the brain. It is not the desire or the desiring. It is not the object of desire. Above all these, you are. All these are simply manifestations. You appear as the smiling flower, as the twinkling stars. What is there in the world which can make you desire anything? With blessings and love, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Wow. How'd you like to have a letter from God? So, you know, when you get to that point, I often liken it to that whatever it is, that divine impulse that brings the fruit to the point of ripening, that brings that fragrance and that blossoming to the point of its epitome of beauty. Thus, and likely, and likewise, there's a time for every human soul, to every human being, to awaken as the Christ, to awaken as the Beloved, to awaken as the uniquely begotten, promised one, to awaken as the Anointed One. Because those are all what the term Christ means. It is to awaken to that divine true self that you really are, that has absolutely nothing to do with religion or religious doctrine. That's where we have to perhaps take a different journey to get beyond the way that we have interpreted certain words and terms that have limited them and also turned us off in many cases. So, where most of you are, probably many of you, who are interested in spirituality, you're in that stage that I've spoken about of awakening from the ego's nightmare to the happy dream of spiritual awakening to your higher self. But, you know, you're still in a dream. However, in the happy dream, while you still see separate bodies and different identities and everything moving around about you, it's still not the real world, but now your interpretation has shifted to one of being aware that you are spirit, having a human experience. Actually, you're not even that, but that's part of the happy dream belief that you move into. And while the happy dream is much more pleasant, it's still a dream. And you are still adding to your sense of self. It's not what you add on, it's what you let go. And when you are fabricating a spiritual identity within the dream, you're adding on to your identity spiritual attributes and superfluous folderol that doesn't mean anything. For example, you cannot find yourself by searching the third dimensional universe. That universe, with all of its myriad of sparkling stars, is also part of the dream. It's the ego's mental projecting. Your immortal identity cannot be found in fabricating another dream persona. So many of you ask me, to tell you what planet you're from, or what star system, or what is your real star person identity. But your real identity is not to be found in creating another story about yourself. There's no need to add another identity to the one you're already entrapped in and saddled by. Too many spend hours searching the skies for proof of alien life, and yet remain an alien to their own selves. Some seek to open dimensional portals and stargates within the dream time-space continuum, but they have never, ever entered the stargate and the dimensional portal that leads to the inner kingdom of heaven that's entered through the third eye. We spoke about that in many, many seminars, and very specifically how to do that in our last one. And so it is through entering into the soul gate, which is that behind the third eye in the center of your skull, is where you enter the kingdom of heaven. And so many would-be light workers are awaiting some event in the outer dream world to shift and change so that things will improve and be better, or they will be ascended, and then they'll be whole and free. And, you know, please notice, if you will, that no sooner than one date passes, but the collective ego mind will create another and another and another event to be awaited and anticipated. And that's what the ego mind does. It always keeps that carrot in front of the donkey. It's always projecting something else that you have to wait for in order to move fully into who you are and to be what you truly are. Because the ego, that's the last thing it wants you to do. It wants to keep you spinning out stories and fabricating false personas. That's how it survives. So what you truly are seeking simply cannot be found where you're looking, because it's always been in you, as you. So you're looking outside for what is already within your own inner awareness. What you're doing and seeking is actually denying your own being and delaying your own liberation. Actually, you've never been bound, but it's that belief that keeps you projecting and denying and seeking. So only your ego mind has held you captive. It's just a mindset, that's all, a belief. And that which you are seeking is seeking you, your attention. And that is why things are falling apart and failing in your outer life. You know, it's something greater within you trying to show you that you can't find the happiness and fulfillment that you are seeking in the outer material universe. Anything and everything in the material world will eventually decay and disappear at some point. Everything that is born in illusion must at some point depart through death to that illusion. So what you are really seeking is as close as your breath. Take a deep breath now. And sense that you live in a house of unlimited, ever-expanding divine awareness. You are clothed with omniscience. Think of that as your body. You are clothed with ever-expanding divine awareness. You are adorned with bliss, which is the awareness of love. That is the bliss, Ananda. You are enveloped in that. It is who you are. It breathes you. It beats your heart. And you are eternal life. In fact, this little lifetime that you're living or think you're living right now is like a single sentence. It begins with a capital, it starts the sentence, and it ends with a period, which would be your death from this world. And then a new sentence. And within the book of your life, it is constantly a living scripture, a living word, a living tapestry of light. And every single appearance or dream appearance, and equally dream departure, is but another sacred writ in the scripture of your beingness. But you're living right now in eternal life. Right now. You are a multi-faceted, multi-dimensional, multi-sensory, and trans-sensory being. You can move your inner awareness to any state, any place, any, let's say, wave, consciousness wave, and manifest a form that is in a harmonic with that reality construct. As a divine being, as Atma, you move into any place at any time and manifest an appropriate vestiture to interact in that reality. So you are not stuck being an amorphous mass. What I'm saying is that you awaken to an unlimited divinity that is everywhere present, that is all aware, and that, like Sai Baba, experiences itself as living in the hearts of all beings. So God realization is to awaken within the many, as the many. So you begin, like Sai Baba, to see yourself as all the people that you think of outside of yourself, suddenly they become your own incarnation. That's interesting. And everything in the universe becomes like your own living room of your own home. So you don't become less by becoming the one. You become identified with the all that is. So you need to add nothing to yourself. You only need to still your frantic seeking. And as you welcome the beloved presence within you, that beloved will manifest within you, in your own innermost being. Every loving call of your heart will evoke an immediate response. So as a suggestion, instead of your usual prayer petitions, just spend some time expressing your love and gratitude from your heart to the dweller in your heart. Talk sweetly of how much you love God. Tell the beloved what you appreciate, what you're grateful for, of the many, many evidences every day of love, care, grace, provision. I guarantee you, in fact, I promise you, you won't be through very many of those before you will be absolutely overwhelmed with a sense of love. In fact, you know, after about three, sometimes not even that many statements, I find my cheeks are wet with weeping. I'm not even aware. It's like my soul begins to weep in love. And those are called bhakti tears. Your own devotion pours out in tears to wash the feet of the beloved. And that's really the purpose of tears, not to cry for yourself, but to weep in divine ecstatic love of the beloved. And after you've encountered the beloved within you, You will never again feel alone. Once you've met the inner beloved, for the first time for many of you, you will have experienced pure, unconditional love and total safety and security. You won't be worried anymore about, you know, somebody coming in your back door and doing harm. You won't be concerned about your money and what you've got in the bank or don't have in the bank, or whether you're employed or unemployed. You will begin to live at a whole different level of reality. You'll be living in God, with God, as God. You'll begin to realize that wherever you are, God is and all is well. God is before you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above, below, and within you. In fact, I used to imagine myself right in the middle of God, like a fleur-de-lis was spread out all around me, and I was surrounded all about by Sai Baba. It's a wonderful visual. So see that. Let that be your reality. Let that be what you walk in and with as your safety, as your protection, as your sense of being, until you merge into that love and find that the perfect protection is absolutely 100% vulnerability. But only the innocent can afford to be vulnerable. It's the ego that's always putting more locks on the door and more alarm systems in and arming itself to the teeth and, you know, a shotgun in beside your bed, the end table by your bed. That's the ego. That's a nightmare. You know, the ego never feels safe because it knows its time is limited. So, just think, all this time, if you're frantic, outer seeking, you're questing, doubting, debating, mind, that has been the only thing blocking your awareness of total joy, peace, and wholeness. Just that mind, seeking, questing, doubting, debating, that. Give it up. And what is present? The awareness of joy and peace and wholeness, that all that clamor was, making it so you couldn't see it. You've often thought that you had to be different, to change yourself somehow, to be worthy, to do all of these things in order to experience God. And that's the very first lie, I think, that the false ego self ever tells us. That we are different than God and separate from God. That's like the foundational lie. So begin to instead just don't listen to everything that comes into your head. Begin to discern, is this truth or is it part of the ego's lie? You are spirit, forever one with God. That is the truth. You are identical to God, like the wave is identical with the sea. That is truth. Your body is but the ego's fence and defense against your reality, which exists beyond the body. So know that the ego will always focus you in some manner to body consciousness. That's how you can tell that it's the ego. The ego is always a germ phobe. It's always worried about catching colds and the flu. It's always planning for sickness and dis-ease. That's how it keeps you convinced that you're a body. Yet you are a spirit, and no body could ever contain you. So as you awaken beyond body, you'll realize that nothing that has ever seemed to happen to your body in this dream that you call your life has ever really touched or affected you. That which is the real you as spirit or Atma is completely unaffected by this dream in time and space. A very excellent scripture to read to understand this more fully is the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that the Atma is birthless, deathless, immortal, eternally pure. Fire cannot burn it. Water cannot drown it. It is totally unaffected by anything in this world. So I think one way you could think of it is this. Say you've had a bad dream. Someone in your dream has been hurting you. And you awaken and discover that you're fine. Nothing in your nightmare had any effect on you in reality. And likewise, as you awaken to your true identity as birthless, deathless, immortal, ever pure, ever one with God, you will see that nothing in your imagined life scenarios has ever happened to you. Nothing in these dream scenarios throughout your life in the material universes has ever affected, marred, besmirched, or touched you as Atma at all. They're all of your the lies that the ego would try to tell you that would make you feel guilty or shame or that would cause you to blame or feel bad about yourself, you can just jettison all of that as a lie. Everything that's going on is called a play of consciousness. It's spirit dancing in and out of mental and imagined scenarios. And why would that be? To experience the various states. This is what is called the divine lila. It's the divine play of the one. Pretending and having fun at pretending at being the many. You know, it's a God thing. So only the good and that which is eternal is true about you. And that realization will enable you to quietly disregard things others or your own mind may suggest to the contrary. To learn to separate the true from the false, we need to be like the swan. The swan can separate pure water from the silt. That is why great souls are called hamsas or paramahamsas. A hamsa or a hamsa is a swan, and a paramahamsa is a great swan. And it means a yogi, a person who has learned to separate and discern the real from the unreal, the temporal from the immortal. And the hamsa, that swan of discernment, is within you as part of that higher mind called the buddhi, or the intuition. And that's your spiritual inner awareness, that when it is operating, it very carefully can discern between the real and the unreal, the truth and the lie. So you can always move your inner awareness to the truth, to that which can never be changed and can never cease to be. That alone is truth, that which is infinite and immortal. And you train your mind to operate from that changeless truth and the principles that are changeless. I think the Course in Miracles gives a very great one as its very opening statement. Nothing unreal exists. Nothing real can be threatened. Herein lies the peace of God. Wow. Nothing unreal exists. Wow. Nothing real can be threatened. Herein lies the peace of God. And this is why you can see in charismatic healings where suddenly a person with a terrible disease is instantly healed because the disease is unreal. And if you move into an atmosphere where there's a strong belief and expectancy in God being able to to heal and to remove the illusion of illness, that illness sometimes just disappears. That's the basis of miracles. Miracles, according to the Course in Miracles, are always birthed out of time through love, a love that is not of this world. So be willing to let go of all you thought you knew. Just empty your mind of all your clutter. And the real universe within you, the very kingdom of God, will fill you to overflowing with your own blessedness. You will absolutely be filled to overflowing with a sense of freedom, bliss, and love. And there all your seeking ends. And you are free at last to truly live and enjoy life. Only the self-realized person truly lives and enjoys life to the fullest. All the five senses that were used in the past to reveal a world of illusion to which you became entrapped, they suddenly are transformed to reveal a world that is lit by heavenly loveliness, purity, and peace. When you look at the world through the eyes of the higher consciousness, through the eyes of Christ, you only see something that is innocent and wholly lovable. So your everyday becomes paradisical, and you are fulfilled and ever full and free, and you live but to love and bless all that exists with all that you are. That's it. And it doesn't require you doing anything but returning your mind to the remembrance that in highest truth you've never left the heart of God, and you remain as God created you, in perfect innocence and peace. It's vigilance. It's reminding yourself, however you need to do that. Perhaps it's 3x5 cards. Perhaps it's reading Sai Baba's books and keeping those teachings forever in the forefront of your mind. What you keep company with will keep company with you. So choose your company well. If you don't have access to satsang with other fellow believers and devotees and spiritual aspirants, then keep company through the books of Sai Baba, the books of enlightened masters and sages, saints, rishis, gurus, and lovers of God. Keep company with divine music. Fill your mind and your heart and your life with the beauty of divine consciousness, divine remembrances, and the presence of everything lovely and beautiful that you can possibly bring into your environment. And you'll find that you're living truly in the kingdom of heaven right now. So let's take a deep breath, and we will chant Anai Hu, which is a chant that evokes that oneness of the divine presence that we all are part of and share. Deep breath. Good night.